So do you think America is a racist country?
I think America as a country, because it was built on slavery and racism, I think fundamentally it is kind of, that's something that's always going to be, not always going to be present, but that's something that was there from the beginning, and it's something that's still there. Rather than like, oh, this is an outside issue that we have to deal with. Like, oh no, like, racism, you know, it's coming to get us. It's like, this is something that's been with us since the beginning. And I really, I don't know, maybe, I think a lot of people recognize that, especially probably here, but I think the issue is that people will treat racism as this external problem that's not, like, fundamentally a part of our country. And so realizing that that's sort of what the situation is, I think will help, you know, in efforts to undo the institutionalized racism that has been present since the beginning.
Sure. Do you think that we've sort of course, we went through slavery in the Jim Crow era and all that stuff, and we progressed outside of that, and right now, legally, you and I are equal. Right. So do you think that we can sort of have these conversations about slavery and Jim Crow and acknowledge them, but not make racism such a pivotal issue like we are today?
What do you mean by not making it a pivotal issue?
So do you still think that there's evidence of systemic racism in America today?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, I mean, I'm not super, that's not my field of study, but definitely from what I've seen, like, statistics of, like, arrests and, like, jail time served and all these different things, I feel like, though, technically, legally, you know, there's more equality. There's still a lot of stuff that's either, like, still sort of within the system, or it's, like, subliminal that people don't really feel the need to address, because it seems like, again, like an external issue. So it's like, well, I'm not racist, but they don't think, well, maybe like some of the underlying assumptions that I make about people are based on racism because of the way that I was raised in the place.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I still think there are probably plenty of people who walk around who have those sort of prejudices in them, right?
Well, and some people have those prejudices and are like clear about it. They're like, yeah, no, I am racist. And it's like, okay, you know what? At least you're being honest with yourself. Like, you're obviously, that's terrible, but I think it's really important to try and target people that are, they're like, I'm not a racist person, but they still have power and they're still like operating in a way that perpetuates these systems that we have, rather than like taking a moment to think critically about the way that they're, you know, like perceiving the world.
Okay, perfect. I want to delve into the system part that you talked about, like policing and jailing it, and give you some facts on it and maybe see if this changes your mind at all. Okay. So when we talk about the black prison rate and the black rate of criminality, so black people make up about 13% of the population, but they constitute quite a bit of the crimes, over 25% of the crimes. So do you think that with the amount of police encounters that black people, specifically young black males, it tends to be, have with police, do you think that can sort of have, not a justification, but doesn't that sort of take care of the issue? Can you see how maybe the criminality rate is more causal to the police encounters than police actually being discriminatory?
Right. I mean, I'm all for, like, sort of working to try to fix issues that are, like, endemic in the police system, but I don't think it's that, like, every police, you know, every person who works in the police force is bad and racist. I think it's, like, there are definitely some people that are like that, and there are a lot more people that have these, like, underlying prejudices. And then I think it also depends on, like, the place and the way that, you know, these young black men, maybe they're not being raised, like, maybe they just don't have access to, like, they're not in a great neighborhood, and so, like, you're more likely to, you know, end up committing crimes if you're not being supported by the country that's supposed to support you. So I think there are so many other factors in addition to that, although I do think that there are, like, still the way that things are being policed probably could be improved a lot.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree with you. There are certain things in policing that I think definitely need improvement. I guess where I look at it is I don't attribute it to racism necessarily. And you made a great point. You know, you're talking about the neighborhoods that black people, and specifically young black males, grow up in. And in studying this, it seems like fatherlessness seems to be a really big problem. You know, about 70% of young black children grow up without a father in the household. And that increases your likelihood of going to jail. It increases your likelihood of committing crimes. Do you think that maybe as a society, we should stop focusing so much on the systemic racism narrative and really delve into people's cultures and try to improve those?
I think that's super important. I mean, I definitely think it's still worth having that conversation about systemic racism. It's not like, well, that's not an issue at all, so let's toss it aside. But there are definitely, like I said, there are other factors, right? And so it's worth, I don't think it's being discussed as much or as, like, intensely, like the, you know, the background that these people have that sort of leads them to this life. And it's like, how can we try to change the conditions that these people are in so that they don't end up like on this pathway? And so I think that's super important. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And one last question for you. Are you a UCLA student?
Yeah.
Okay. So UCLA as a campus and a college, and many colleges in the United States are starting to look at student applications and go, you know what, I'm going to look at the race, I'm going to look at the gender, and then that boosts your capability of getting into the college.
Right.
Do you think that that's okay?
I would never get upset about that because, like, I understand the justification, and I feel like it is fair to try. It's kind of like kicking in like a step too late, like rather than going back to the point where you're giving everybody equal opportunities. You're like, okay, now that we're in this unfortunate situation, let's like try to sort of posthumously like make amends. And so I think that's not the ideal solution, but I think in terms of like temporary things, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. So there are some people who focus on a study called critical race theory, and they go, you know what, we fixed past discrimination with current discrimination. That's one of their quotes.
Yeah.
Do you think that's right? Or maybe as a college or any colleges across America, that maybe we should just take race and gender off of applications and start looking at people's merit and then deciding who we bring in?
Yeah, I just honestly, I can see the arguments for both sides. You said critical race theory is like fixing past discrimination with current discrimination,
yeah,
in like a more positive way.
They essentially say we should look at everything in our society and look at it through the lens of race, which I think can be very problematic.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, looking at things through the lens of race is always going to be kind of problematic. I think that's not the most problematic way that you could do that, but you could sort of amend that by just taking more time to like interview students and be like, what was your experience, rather than like, oh, what's this person's race?
Right.
Okay, well, you know, for that reason alone, like, it's not about the person's race, it's about the experience they had.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, I don't know if colleges are going to like put in that much effort,
right,
even though they should. So
I'll give you one last sort of summation of my thoughts and what I think we should do going forward. I think we should recognize our past and go, you know, slavery was a horrible thing. Jim Crow was a horrible thing. Legally, we want us both to be equal, right? And when you're applying to school or trying to get a job or doing anything in this country, I think we should just take race out of the equation and go, you know what, we did that for so long.
Yeah.
Let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, like maybe that's not the solution here. I agree. I think if people were just willing to put in more effort, like, it's just, I think it's just laziness, essentially, because it's not like if you're black you've had these experiences. Like, if you have had these experiences, you've had those experiences, and there's no way to truly say, like, find that out unless you just ask the person.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and all your thoughts. Fantastic. What are your thoughts on racism in America?
I think that racism is very prevalent in America, and I also have noticed that, like, this is not me trying to say like racism is definitely bad, but I've noticed that racism is also prevalent in other countries, but we just don't notice it because we're not in those countries. And I think being in the US, we have, a lot of people have this idea that like, oh, it's only like this in the US. Unfortunately, it's like this in a lot of countries as well. And there's definitely something that needs to happen. There needs to be a shift to where everybody feels safe, especially people of color. They feel safe going outside without like, and without knowing that, or without thinking that they'll be put in harm's way.
Okay, so when you talk about harm's way, what are the things that you're concerned about as a person of color, you know, walking around in America?
Police brutality. A big thing that I have to be conscious about, like, I'm traveling soon in September. I'm going to Spain and Italy, but we have some layovers, and one of the layovers is in one of the southern states. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I'm thinking it might be in my best interest to not leave the airport while on the layover, just stay in the airport and then like take the second flight. So
what are you most concerned about being in a southern state? Do you think that racism is just simply more prevalent there against people of color?
I would say yes. My mom's side is from Louisiana. They left Louisiana during my grandma left Louisiana during the Jim Crow era because of how bad it was. She moved to Oregon. So yeah.
Do you think we've sort of progressed as a country outside of the Jim Crow laws, you know, because those laws of segregation no longer exist for people of color, and legally we're very much equal to white people who, you know, walk around among us. Do you think that we've reached a point of progress in America?
I think we definitely have reached some progress, but there's always room for improvement. So yeah.
What improvements would you like to see happen in this country?
I think that there should be people who have committed hate crimes or are committing hate crimes, there definitely should be more follow through when people say, like, the legislature says, like, like, we're going to be punishing these people that have committed these acts. I think there definitely should be more follow through, because what we have seen in the media is that when things like that do happen, it's more, the reprimandation has been more of a slap on the wrist.
Do you think the media purposefully pushes a narrative of racism towards people who look like you and me and sort of drums up stories that might not exactly be real?
I would say no. If anything, I feel like they might downplay it a little bit more, yeah.
In what specific way? What's a specific issue that you think the media downplays when it comes to racism?
So, like, I'll bring an example. So, like, when the George Floyd protests were happening, a lot of the information that were being put out is, like, they were saying, like, oh, a lot of the protests were vandalizing things, but there was a lot of stuff that was, yes, there was vandalization that was happening, but there was also a lot of things that weren't being pushed as much. Like, a lot of people were being injured by the police officers that were stopping the protests. Like, people that were peacefully protesting were being injured.
Okay, so do you think the protests that ensued after George Floyd's death were rightful?
I think the protests were rightful. Of course, if something wrong is happening, we do have a right to protest. So, yeah.
What if I told you that when we look at police statistics, there actually is no sign of bias towards people of color when it comes to police brutality? Would that change your outlook when it comes to the things that happened after George Floyd's death?
I think it definitely was. Is that what the statistics say?
Yeah, so statistically, with people of color and police brutality, there's really no real evidence of actual racial discrimination amongst police officers towards people of color in America. And actually, you're nearly more likely to get struck by lightning as a black person than to experience police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Does that at all change your opinion or the way that you look at police officers?
It definitely does change the way I look at it. But I think that's definitely something I would have to look into more.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your opinion with me today.
Have a wonderful day.
What is your thought about racism in America?
Look, in my opinion, it is very important to acknowledge that to an extent, every country in the world has a form of racism in the community and in its politics. When it comes to the politics, it's important to eradicate as much as possible, but it is inherently important that people are educated in school that this is not only an American problem, but a global problem, and that it is not unique to America itself.
Sure, and can you talk about some of your experiences outside of America, what racism looks like outside of this country itself?
Yes, well, coming from Eastern Europe, it is very interesting to see that some groups of people are much more tolerated in Eastern Europe, whereas here, not so much. And racism looks a little different in every country, and that's not okay, but it is to be expected.
Yeah, I sort of posit the point that as long as race exists, there's going to be racists who exist alongside that. Now, I think it becomes an issue when that racism becomes systemic or something that is written into law. In your time here in America, have you seen any evidence of a systemic problem with racism, or is it just that individual tolerance that you're noting?
Interesting question. I think that it's dependent on what part of the country you're talking about. I'd say that California, places like New York are much more tolerant and more lenient on changing their laws to be more inclusive. However, in more southern parts, it seems like this is not the case.
And I think a lot of people have this conception that if you go into the southern part of America that you're going to experience more racism because these places are known as sort of the Bible Belt and they're known to be more white in skin color. But
that is not the case.
What is your...
My opinion to that is that it's not the population and the demographic that is influencing it, but rather the institutions.
Okay, and what institutions do you think exist in the South that have a discriminatory factor against people of color?
Well, in my opinion, the senators that work in conservative states are less lenient on talking about racism as a problem.
Okay, and Well, as far as I'm concerned, in all states across America, legally, you and I would be seen as equal. In fact, we have many anti-discrimination laws set in place all across the United States. Is there something legally that you think is different about southern states, or they're just not willing to have this conversation?
Yes, there is still some form of a difference by not really investing as much into neighborhoods where the demographic is a lot more diverse. So let's go for public education. Public education is something that should be invested into no matter what. I think that you can agree with that. However, it is inherently impossible to give the same amount of money to each school, and it is rather curious that more diverse schools tend to get less in terms of funding, and I think that's that should be looked into.
But do you think that is due to some sort of bias or senators not being willing to invest into lower income areas?
I'd say that they are banking on getting the majority of the people and the majority of the votes, which is white, let's be honest. And the only way they can secure those votes is if they pander to them in one way or another. And by, you know, shoveling the money into one area where there is, in fact, a higher population of white people, that's a pretty good strategy. I don't think that they are just racist, but they are securing their positions. And it is more of a game of tactics on their part.
See, that is where I would totally agree with you. I think those demographics just happen to be the case, and black people do bear the brunt of the issues, especially with inner city schools. But I wouldn't say that it is driven by this inherent sense of black people being less than white people.
In certain cases, that would be true, but there are exceptions, of course. And there are certain cities that are absolutely racist when it comes to not only public education, but police. Even. And this is a major problem. And well, what you have to say is that they always say the same thing. Well, you know, it's just a couple of rotten apples. But what they don't finish the sentence is that a couple rotten ones spoil the bunch.
So when we delve into policing, I would like to go into this issue very quickly. When we look at the black community, there does also tend to be a higher criminality rate, which means far more encounters with police. Now, certainly the videos that we see on the internet of instances of police brutality are certainly displays of what is malpractice in policing. But what I argue against is racism being the driving factor. Often these things are not provable. This bias is not something that is empirical to the eye, and we run with the racist narrative instead of saying maybe we need to change our training tactics, the way that we train police officers. Instead, we focus around organizations like Black Lives Matter. We make it a racial issue when, in fact, more white people in America are killed by police officers than blacks.
I have no statistics at my disposal to comment on what you said. However, I would like to say that the number one thing that should be done about policing in America in general is de-escalation tactics. And this is just not the case. And I feel like gun control is another thing that should be looked into as a form of, you know, limiting the capabilities of malpractice and not only that, but like crime in general.
Last question here. So because in America we do seem to have this inherent focus on race when it comes to all social issues, we are now moving towards an era where we are investing in things like affirmative action hiring and actually holding black and brown people at a higher status for getting into schools, getting jobs, as opposed to our white counterparts. Do you think that's an answer or a somewhat of a solution to what we're going through right now as a country?
I think that it's very difficult to say that there is a simple solution to these problems. I think that lifting them up is kind of coddling them, and in a way that is very, how should I say it? It's condescending is the right word. I think that they are perfectly capable to get into schools like UCLA. However, if they come from low-income public schools, their capabilities drop. And so we should be looking at this from the root of the problem and not at the top where it's all shiny and very easy to see. So this problem that you are seeing should be pretty easily solved, should be pretty easily be solvable if we, in fact, invest more into public education.
Do you have any final thoughts about race in America or across the world that you'd like to share before we close out?
I would say that I have said exactly what I wanted to say, and that's perfectly fine.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.